When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Currents issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm going to do background. I like background.
Here we go!
There's only four words.
This is something, something Broncos.
This one's for Pat!
Let's go!
Can you smell the salt?
There's only one person that carries the ball right here.
Yeah.
Tim Tebow back in the system.
Good.
Featuring Mike DeCicco
and Jess Place.
Welcome to Something Something Broncos.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Something Something Broncos. I am Jess Place, joined, as always, by Mike DeCicco.
Yes!
And Lori Lattimore-Volman.
What?
And Christopher Hart. It's like a big Mile High Report party here on, I guess, well, we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon, but it's going to go up on draft day. So this is our draft day spectacular. Are you guys pumped?
So pumped.
Look at Hart. He can barely keep himself together.
I'm in the scared part because I'm afraid we're going to trade down and come out with an undersized edge rusher out of this.
The draft is
always an exciting time, no matter who you're a fan of. But the Broncos are so bad at drafting and have been forever. It's just like you're kind of scared, too.
Yeah, I've lost confidence in this franchise to do the right thing. And so even if they trade up and get May, I'm assuming May will be a bust. I'm going to buy his jersey tomorrow, but I also assume he'll be a bust. So it's, yeah, I think Chris is right. You're beat down eventually. But I'm excited.
I'm excited too. We got new uniforms. We got Zach Wilson.
Right.
We got the draft coming up.
Stop,
like,
stop
really,
Zach
does it
Wilson.
Get any better?
Hey, let's do a quick thing. Uniforms, yes or no? Jess, yes or no?
Yes. Yes, I'm a fan of the new uniforms. I'm in the minority.
Chris?
But I am definitely a fan of the new uniforms.
They're growing on me, but they look like they are for like UTSA or University of Virginia. Like the colors change to that. So it looks like they talk to those teams or copy those. I mean, I like them, but it's like we all are on Twitter and we saw so many fans and graphic designers who are Broncos fans make better ones. But
yeah,
the cool thing about it was the Patrick Surtain, Randy Gradishar video. Like that was the most exciting thing for me.
That
I think paying homage to the Orange Crush teams was cool. So I guess if you look good, you feel good. When you feel good, you play good. When you play good, they pay good. Deion Sanders. If these jerseys make them play better, kind of like PF Flyers in the Sandlot, make kids run faster, jump higher, that would be sweet. I mean, they're growing on me. I'll give them a solid like C+ that can turn into a better grade if they get their shit together.
Lori.
So with the regular uniforms, I'm like, I'm fine with it. I like everyone else. I don't love them, but they look fine. And I honestly don't care. But the throwback ones, love them.
Yeah.
Love them. And I liked your comment Mike, I'm pretty sure.
I have a lot of them.
I know, but I'm pretty sure on Twitter you were talking about this where like people were complaining about, or not complaining, but wanting to make the throwback, the regular primary uniform. Yeah. And you were like, you know, I'm fine with having to be like a special uniform. And I kind of, I'm down with that too. Like, it's so cool that making it, having some hype around it every season a couple of times seems like a good idea.
Yeah. I think they're both great. I like the new ones. The one thing I like more than I think a lot of people do, I would like to see them wear the blue tops over the orange pants. I thought that looked really cool. Maybe it looks a little bit too like Illinois, but I like the two-tone color ones, blue top, orange pants. I thought it was great. I'm a fan. I think Chris is right. There were some better mock-ups by fans online, but these are pretty cool. I like them better than the current ones. I like them. I'm happy.
It's a new era.
New era. And they didn't change the logo, so we're not all buying new hats and t-shirts and
water bottles. Nice of them to do that.
Yeah, so that was good.
You know what I love is I mostly love on the orange, on the throwback, the blue outline of the oversized numbers. Like, I think that's a cool that's a cool part of the throwback that I love having.
It makes you realize just how oversized all the pads were in the 80s, right?
Yeah, yes.
Right.
Like they released this picture of Patrick Sertan and he looks, I mean, he's a slim guy. And so he just looks kind of small in that uniform. And it's like, you're used to seeing like Carl Mecklenburg and, you know, Dennis Smith and Steve Atwater and, you know, just looking so much bigger.
And Gene Lang with like shoulder pads that stick out 3 feet on each side, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So when they wear the throwbacks, they need to rock those throwback pads.
I need at least three players with a neck roll too. You know?
Yes. The Bill Romanowski neck roll.
Yeah.
They should wear the same socks too, like with the three stripes at the top or, you know, like the same crew socks that we wore in the 70s.
Well, I think those are the 77 socks we have, isn't it?
Oh, maybe. Did they wear those?
What I'm told. That's what I read. I didn't actually look up and verify. The entire trust but verify, I just went with trust, you know? So,
because you teach
my source is close to me confirming that we wear socks.
Well, Mace said it was 1977, and he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
I trust Mace.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I had a friend reach out and be like, oh, so 1977, they haven't worn these since then? I'm like, no, they wore them until 1996. It's really, I don't know why they're calling them 1977.
They've updated them, like the shoulder stripes, I think, like in the 80s or 90s. So these are the 1977 version of our throwbacks.
Yeah. I think they're doing that too, because they're really hyping the Orange Crush, you know, during the year that they went to the Super Bowl, the best year. I mean,
and Gradishar made the Hall of Fame.
So why not?
Yeah,
I'm gonna add with Chris that hype video with Gradishar and Sertan. That was super well done. Kudos to the Broncos media team for that one, because they nailed it with like all the different 70s stuff and just the way he walked back into time. It was really clever.
It was.
It was a little disconcerting seeing, because when he goes into the store that Gradishar works at, supposedly. There is like this like mushroom thing hanging on the wall, and Facebook has been aggressively trying to sell me that very poster for the last 6 months. And so I was like, oh, there's that thing. So kudos to the Broncos team for, succumbing to all the marketing efforts of wherever they got that mushroom wall art.
So we talked about what we like. I'm going to talk to you about what I don't like about that video is, people on Twitter are saying, well, that proves we're not trading Pat Sertan now because he was in a video. I mean, the fact that people actually seem to believe that Sean Payton will be like, oh, I could move him in May, but we posted a video on Twitter, so I can't. I can't wait to trade Sertan now. You know, my hands are tied because we made a cool video. Like the social media team is setting the draft board for Sean Payton.
Just and sharpening knives right next to him.
Like, I could see Sean Payton doing the opposite and being like, hey, I saw this video that the social media team did. I'm absolutely trading Pat Sertan.
That's a Belichick move. Belichick would do that. Yeah. Belichick would be watching the video and say, I wasn't trading him, but I am now. Yeah. And so he may not get traded just because he's awesome and you want awesome players. But the entire he was in the video, so he's not getting traded narrative. Just please, let's not be that dumb. It doesn't preclude anything.
No,
right?
I agree.
So do we think, I mean, I don't know. Do you think Sertan is a Bronco? A lot of people, actually, we put this on the Twitters, like, which jersey did you buy? Because what's one thing Justin and I have been asking is, whose number are you going to put on a jersey? And a lot of people are buying the Sertan jersey. Do we think he's going to be a Bronco come Monday?
I do. I think Cortland Sutton might not be, though.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Sertan's going to be a Bronco for sure.
Would you be okay if he was included instead of a first-round pick to move up to get McCarthy, May, whomever?
No.
You'd rather trade a future first than keep Sertan?
Yep. He's a Hall of Fame player if he keeps it up. Like, we've been so bad at drafting. We've gone through so many different coaching changes since we won Super Bowl 50 that anytime you get a player like him, that just, like I've talked about on other podcasts, when he came into the league, he was about as sure thing that you could be. His father was an all-pro Pro Bowl player. He played at Alabama, the high school he went to where his dad coached. It's just one of the most competitive programs in high school. He's been a winner and elite at every level, and he's a good person. Like, if you can get your hands on a player like that who's already excelled so well in the NFL, it would be stupid to give him up.
The argument for giving him up would be he's about to get paid, like all capital letters paid. And for a team that has so much rebuilding to do, would you rather have the cap flexibility, or do you want to tie that much money up to Sertan? And I could see him going either way. You're right. He's a generational player. You don't get those very often. But there's an argument to trade him.
You pay the good players that you have. I mean, and look at Quinn Meinerz. Who would have thought when we drafted him several years ago out of Wisconsin Whitewater, he would already become one of the most dominant guards in the National Football League?
I mean, I saw him knock over a tree, so.
That was so cool. Like, his pre-draft, like, he sent that to every team in the league, going up to Canada at his uncle's place, just knocking down dead trees. That was awesome.
That was too cool.
But you know how many trees have started crap with him since that video came out? None. No trees.
But, I mean, we're also looking at this next year. On top of a Sertan extension, are we going to give Quinn Meinerz like a $20 million guard contract per year? If you look at some of the guards that were on the free agent market this past year, just because Chris Jones, a lot of other interior defensive pressure players, they're getting paid. So teams are really valuing centers and interior offensive linemen as well with contracts. I mean, we paid Ben Powers like $17 million a year, and he was average last year. So
when's that deal up?
Can
we get out of it after this year?
Yes, but then we're going to incur more dead money because they've restructured it to add more void years on the deal, like we did with Mike McGlinchey's.
For this year?
Well, no, it's like adding two more void years onto the end of the contract. So
we restructured it this year is what I'm saying, right?
Correct. So, okay. But what I'm getting at is we save a little bit money in cap relief, but we're now looking at, they realize that those were kind of two bad contracts. And even though they're going to count for a certain portion, it's only like $4 or $5 million on the cap. But after they're off the team in years that they're not even here, we're still going to have to pay for that as well in void years. So technically that contract would have ran through, I think, 2026. But now it's through like 2028 because of the void year stuff.
Gotcha.
The void year stuff's weird. Mickey Loomis was a big fan of that with Sean Payton in New Orleans. And it's kind of like the proverbial kicking the can down the road.
They got in trouble with that.
Yes, they did. So, well, side conversation, but it's one of the reasons I'm kind of concerned with Sean Payton, because it's kind of like maxing out your credit card and then refusing to pay your bill.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? I'm doing that right now.
Am I not supposed to be?
No.
Oh, no.
Follow Jess for financial tips or talk to Tim Lynch.
I get the best stock tips from random phone numbers on my phone, and I follow them all.
So I think I know what Lori wants to do, because her name says Lori Lattimore Volkman / Nix.
Another hyphenate.
Where do you want Nix at? What's your plan to get him?
Ideally, we trade down, get and are able to get him, and then maybe get another draft pick, get a second rounder. I believe, to your question about Sertan, and I would keep him for all the reasons Chris said, but also we do need to rebuild, but you don't want to start over everywhere. Like, you need to have some really key elite players that you build around too. And the defense, it's sort of got some strong parts and some weak parts. And like, I'd hate to just decimate it in play to for the future of maybe a good pick next year that, you know, isn't necessarily making a difference right away. Like, so ideally, you know, I'm keeping Surtain and thinking maybe the smarter move all around is trading down, getting a quarterback, but getting another player in the second round and, you know, really working on building the team. Yeah.
Well, one thing that makes it easier to keep Surtain is if we get a quarterback on a cost-controlled contract for 4 or 5 years.
Exactly.
Then it makes it easier to have Surtain, because if we were paying Russ, for example, then it makes it harder. And it makes it harder to keep a Surtain. So getting a rookie seems good. Jess, I've asked you every day for like 3 months, but come on, man, it's draft day when people hear this. What are you going to do?
It's going to be draft day.
What are you going to do? What do you want to do? What's happening tonight?
I am going to be excited, and all my stomach will have a big knot in it, and I'll hear the name, and then I will come running to my brethren at Mile High Report so that I can hear what a terrible disaster we have committed in this draft. No, to be honest, I want a quarterback. I definitely want a quarterback. I don't want to mortgage the future. I don't want to go through the next 3 years without a first round pick. Like, that has been like the worst part of the Russell Wilson trade, is just not being able to participate in the national holiday that is draft day.
So much fun.
So yeah, I would like a quarterback. I would like it to be a quarterback that everybody seems to like. I don't have a favorite. I don't have a favorite, because I know if I did have a favorite, I would be wrong, and then I'd have to wear that. So I'm being very reserved in how I proceed.
He's being reserved with how to proceed on the draft. But if a Nigerian scammer texts him a stock, he's buying it right away.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially one that goes to zero immediately after I buy it.
Yeah. So you're reserved in some ways and carefree in others.
If someone sends me a random draft tip, I will be excited about that.
I like the quarterback who's last. If I saw like somebody tweet, oh, this next guy is looking pretty good, I'm like, yeah, he is. I like it. I'm like, whatever I saw last, whatever shiny object somebody waved in front of my face, that's the one I like most. I have no insight.
What about also, Christopher Hart? What about Christopher Hart? He is our expert. He knows. He has his thumb to the wind. Chris, what are we going to do? What are the Broncos going to do?
What should they do?
I don't know what they're going to do, but I'll just give my thoughts on the quarterback class as a whole. We'll ignore Caleb Williams and Jane Daniels because it's already presumed that they're going 1 and 2 overall. So that's not going to happen. The wild card, and I think, Jess, we talked about it on a podcast like a month ago, the wild card is New England, and we don't really know what they're going to do, but we would assume after their past quarterback failures and they don't have Tom Brady anymore, that maybe a franchise quarterback is a good thing to have.
Maybe.
There's been a lot of rumors about J.J. McCarthy being from Michigan. Tom Brady was from Michigan. He's a winner, and the kid is – he is 68-3 going back to like high school and game. That does mean something to coaches like Sean Payton, who want to instill a winning culture. You can't instill a winning culture to a team from guys who were from losing programs. So I think there's smoke to it, but I ultimately think just the tools that Drake May has, and he's a hard evaluation 2023 for the Tar Heels, because they switch offensive coordinators, which can be detrimental to a quarterback prospect. And we see Bo Nix, who struggled with his coordinators at Auburn, go with Danny Lanning over in Oregon and just play lights out the past 2 years. So I would like if Drake May was there, but I don't think he's going to be there. And Tim and I talked about last week, well, what do the Broncos do if Williams, Daniels, and May go 1, 2, 3? Obviously, the Vikings are lurking around Denver's pick. I think they're at 11 ahead of us, and they've got the 23rd pick. Well, Kwesi last year, their GM, he really wanted to move up for Anthony Richardson, who ended up being an Indianapolis Colt. And they've got Kevin O'Connell there, and I think that J.J. McCarthy just seems like a realistic pick to them. But now there's reports coming out that they might not want to actually use that number 23 to get a quarterback, which just seems weird, because they're desperate for a quarterback because they have Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're in a situation to where obviously at four is where the bidding truly starts with the Arizona Cardinals. But if it goes 1-2-3 and they have a shot at Marvin Harrison Jr., who might just be the best offensive player in the entire draft, Kyler Murray needs a target there. Can you really give up a king's ransom to go and get J.J. McCarthy? I don't know if Sean Payton's that desperate, but I guarantee that he likes J.J. McCarthy. The ideal scenario is they find a way, because there's no way that Jim Harbaugh is trading with the Broncos at number five to get McCarthy. He's not going to give his golden child to Sean Payton to play against for as long as he's coaching the Chargers.
Right.
The dream scenario is that the Patriots pass on May and do some sort of wild thing to where the Broncos actually have dual options between May and McCarthy to move up.
But why would they do that? Like, what's the scenario in which they pass on a quarterback?
I mean, think of all those years ago, like when the Dolphins traded up and drafted Deion Jordan, who was like a 215-pound defensive end out of Oregon. Like, and they moved up to number two. Teams do crazy shit all the fucking time during the draft.
So you asked, you said your dream scenario. What's the nightmare scenario where 1, 2, 3, 4, McCarthy's four, the Vikings go up and get him? And then we're left, you know, with Knicks, Penix. We're not guaranteed to get Knicks. What happens if we don't come out with the draft without, and we got like Spencer Rattler, for example, as our quarterback? And then our quarterback room is Rattler, Zach Wilson, which we haven't even talked about. The Nooch and Stidham. Are we signing a Tannehill? What's the nightmare scenario out of this draft?
Desperate times in Broncos country kind of call for desperate measures. And I really do have a hard time believing that the Broncos don't have some sort of plan to get a Bo Nix. Maybe they do like Michael Penix. I like Spencer Rattler. I mean, I think that Michael Pratt out of Tulane, they're interesting guys. But, like, it's very hard to sell the fan base on those guys going into next season. I think that the realistic scenario for Denver is, and the smoke seems to be coming out from reports, that they're interested in trading down. And that's all fine and dandy, but what is stopping four or five other quarterback-needy teams from taking someone like Bo Nix or Michael Penix after they drop back?
Yeah.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports reported the other day that if the Vikings can't get aggressive for Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, they might be fine at 11 taking Bo Nix, or they'd be fine at 23.
Exactly.
It's like, it's damned if you do or damned if you don't, but like literally the Broncos are going to be rolling the dice no matter what they do. They could take Nix at 12, and a lot of fans would probably hate that, but they literally don't have a pick from 12 to 76. So, I mean,
yeah,
you trade back and then you might get a second rounder that you're going to package up with the third rounder that you have to maybe potentially get a guy that could be there when teams are always interested in quarterbacks. I mean, it's just a tough road to hoe right now for them. And the worst case scenario is that they don't come out with a first round caliber prospect, or at least one of the top six names that we've been talking about for months now. But I mean, if they have to roll with Zach Wilson and Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci next year, you're almost assured a top five pick.
That's why I'm afraid to trade next year's first round pick. Even if we get McCarthy, it's still probably going to be top 10, probably top five. And then, you know, we're like the Panthers who traded away the number one overall pick this year. So I don't know. I'm afraid
we don't want to be that guy. I mean, we already gave up Bogut.
We could be that Russell guy. Wilson. Like we could very easily be that guy. And that is terrifying to me. That knot in my stomach, it just like made itself known to me.
My realist GM hat I'm wearing tells me that teams that need so much work like the Broncos don't aggressively mortgage that future, knowing that they have so many holes to fill, even though that quarterback's a need. But then I look at Sean Payton's history in New Orleans, and he and George Payton alluded to this in the press conference. There'll be times that Sean talks to me and say, hey, let's go get our guy. Like, it's Sean Payton's show. Like, if that's what he wants to do, that's just what's going to happen. And it doesn't matter if I want Patrick Sertan to be here long-term. It doesn't matter if I want Quinn Miners to be here long-term. It doesn't matter if I would like Cortland Sutton to stay around. Just, they've got tradable players. They've got tradable picks, future picks, and assets that might be appealing to a team. But as much as I like J.J. McCarthy, like I told Tim on the podcast, man, like, I'd be cool with a couple future picks to get to 7 or 6 or 8.
Yeah.
But, like, the selling the farm.
It's a 3.
when our farm, like if we were comparing it to Major League Baseball, has a bunch of Major League pitching arms that have Tommy Johns, like that's just not good. Like,
or we could just go full agricultural with it and just call it a rock farm. We're just farming rocks.
I mean, it's just. I mean, my mock's coming out Thursday, so draft day. And the scenario that I did is I had us moving down to 20 with the Steelers, getting a second round pick back and a fourth round pick this year, which is kind of the parameters of the deal when we traded back to get Noah Fant and they moved up for Devin Bush. Oh, that would have been what, 5 years ago or something like that. Time flies when you're having
fun. It was 2017.
Well, no, that was the Bulls draft.
2018. 2019?
2019. It was sold.
Well,
2019, I think. Yeah.
2019. I was there for that. So,
yeah.
Well, one of the things I think that matters on this draft is if we had like a young coach, they might be like, I need to grab the quarterback now so I can stay employed. Sean Payton has the like reputation, the weight in the room to be like, I can trade down and get Knicks and keep my picks because I know I'll be here next year to make those picks, you know? Right. I don't think a Sean Payton has to be as desperate in this draft as it would be if like Vance Joseph was our coach and was worried about getting fired, you know?
Right.
So I think the fact that he's Sean Payton, you know, he carries a big stick. He can be more patient than some other coaches could be.
Except Sean Payton isn't very patient.
And neither is Greg Penner. And neither is Greg Penner. Like they both like at the introductory press conference, when the move was made, they both talked about how they're not patient people. And it's just like, well, geez, this is probably not going to end well. Like, I mean, it's tough. And I'm not someone who was ever really on the Sean Payton train. I think if you're a franchise and you have to absolutely trade picks to get a head coach, that just shows how deep in the doldrums you actually are. I'm very confident in Sean Payton's ability to make the offense better and kind of right the ship, but if we don't get a quarterback in the first round this year, we're going to have to wait to 2025, which will be the third year of his contract. How much leeway and time is he going to actually get?
Breaking news here, guys. Everton just scored a second goal to go up 2-0 on Liverpool.
Stop it with that.
Yes.
Mike.
Stop.
I'm an Everton fan, and this is the Liverpool are the Raiders to our Broncos. 2-0.
I was going to make a joke. Is that rugby? But no, that's Premier League soccer, correct?
It is. And they're 2. I'm sorry. I'm really happy right now, guys. This is a good sign for the draft. Things are falling our way.
Okay. Things all are right.
Falling away, Jess.
Back in your cage, Mike.
Okay. Sorry.
Zach Wilson. We should probably talk about him and his mom.
Good trade. It's a good trade, right?
It's not his mom.
We didn't give anything up.
It's not his mom, but she's partly responsible for his behavior.
it's his love for other moms that we should talk about.
All the moms.
You be careful.
Bring it in, girls.
You go in that locker room. You be careful, Lori.
I should have added Wilson to my name.
Yeah.
You still can. There's still an opportunity.
Add Lattimore to his,
Nick
so.
Wilson. Wilson Nix.
Wilson yeah. Nix. I like that.
He wants to be Zach Wilson, Lattimore, Volkman. So, you know,
I think it's kind of fun. I mean, he was such a high draft pick when he was drafted, and he comes to Denver for nothing. Like, we gave up a sixth round pick, got him and a seventh round pick, and they're splitting the $5.5 million salary with us. So he was obtained for nothing. So,
and he was obtained to compete for the number two job. I don't think anybody realistically thinks they brought him in to be the starter. And now we don't, like some people on Twitter, like now they don't have to draft a quarterback in the first round.
Oh my God.
Yes, fucking
people?
Do.
Who are those people?
They were on my timeline.
Oh my God.
I don't like those people. You can tell them I don't like them.
Not only what I would do in the draft is if we trade back to get Knicks, I would consider doing what Washington did back in the day. I would draft Rattler too. When they drafted RG3 and Kirk Cousins, draft the Tulane kid in the fourth round if he's there. I would double dip and
triple dip.
Yeah,
it's
whatever.
Be the all quarterback.
I love draft. That would be so how much fun would that be on Friday if we're like, we've got 8 quarterbacks.
One of them's got to work out. One of them's got to be good.
We can go to the XFL, grab a couple more.
Well, hey, Chris, all I know is that every Denver mock draft must include us getting McCaffrey. Does your draft have us getting McCaffrey?
No, it has a different wide receiver.
Oh, then it's not valid. It's redo it.
Well, that's you call yourself a Broncos fan? Well, you don't need draft, you don't McCaffrey in your draft?
McCaffrey.
No, I would be floored if they were able to get him on day three. I have absolutely no problem. The thing I like about Luke is obviously the pedigree and the family stuff. He knows football. He's been around football his whole life. Yeah, and if you have a McCaffrey jersey at home, you don't have to buy a new one.
Wait, he wears 87 too?
He better.
This is going to work out for me?
Better.
Yeah, we have to draft him.
And but, Wilson has to get number three.
You got to make that jersey work again?
Yes.
Yeah.
I got to save money. In this economy, you need to do this.
You do. This is true.
Sorry, Chris.
Oh, but on Luke McCaffrey, just someone with good size. I think he's about 6'2 and a half, and he's 200 pounds. But he has a willingness to go over the middle of the field, which is something that Sean Payton highly covets in all his offense. You need a guy who can make those tough catches, those third down catches, who's willing to lay their body on the line and get beat down for that first down or for that touchdown. His dad was the very same way. It's kind of hard to teach that mentality into a person, but he grew up around that. He realizes that. So he would be a good pick for that reason. And the fact that he played quarterback, he has a good feel of where to go if there's a soft spot in the zone. He just being a quarterback and transitioning wide receiver, like you already know what the quarterback's brain thinks like. So you're kind of able to link it up with the person throwing it to you. So I would be a big fan of Denver drafting him on day three. I just didn't put him in the mock because I have someone I feel that's better who does similar things to him.
Gotcha.
Being someone that Denver takes, but he's definitely an option. And it's one of those things that there are so many people. It's like, we got to draft the local kids. Like, let's bring in all the Colorado kids. It's like, yeah, you don't have to. But for him, sure. Like,
there's a good enough player to be drafted.
Sure. I mean, it's just not one of those things where we needed to crown like Dalton Reisner King because he was from whatever bum town he was
Kersey.
From.
Mike, those guys on your timeline are probably asking for Phil Lindsay to come back too.
Oh my God. Did everybody here get in an argument with Phil Lindsay's sister? Or
yes, I did. Yeah, I may have accidentally removed her from Mile High Report's Twitter on accident before I realized who she was.
Yeah.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time to take your body care routine to the next level. Introducing Osea's bestseller body care set, the perfect companion for your summer travels. This four-piece kit transforms dry skin to silky, soft, and glowing. It features travel sizes of Osea's best-selling Undaria Algae Body Oil and Body Butter, clinically proven to improve skin elasticity, along with their anti-aging body balm and Salts of the Earth body scrub. And to top it off, it's packed in a vegan leather bag, making it a must-have for all your summer adventures. Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Treat yourself to glowing, healthy skin this summer with clean, vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Right now, you can get the best sellers body care set valued at $78 for 33% off. Use code SUMMER to save an additional 10%. That's an additional 10% off at OCEAMalibu.com, code SUMMER.
So speaking of running backs, is our starting running back on the roster today or is he coming in the draft?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking you.
Yeah.
Here. There's three smart people staring back at me.
Well, so here's the deal. Javonte Williams 2 years ago, that was a catastrophic injury. And I think that all of us felt at the time, it's like, realistically, is this guy ever going to be the same again? Like, that's just very realistic to assume when you blow out that many ligaments, have like tendon tears, that you just might not be the same, even though sports medicine and medical stuff is advanced.
Yeah,
I mean, he's the incumbent guy. Samaje Perine, he's a good player. He's in the last year of his contract, like Javonte Williams. Julio McLaughlin, I mean, he's a solid player too, but he's never going to be someone who can carry 50% of the carries in an offense. I think the Broncos, and I know that they've been very diligent scouting running backs throughout the whole process. It doesn't really, I mean, they've looked at Trey Benson out of Florida State, who is probably a top 50 guy, and they don't have a second round pick, so you can count him off the board. Jalen Wright from Tennessee, he's kind of sort of like Alvin Kamara, but a little bit different. Also, I mean, Kamara went to Tennessee, Jalen Wright's from Tennessee. I know that they have interest in him, and he's probably in that late second to early third round range to where I see that they can make a move. But they've been doing a lot of diligence on day three backs, potentially even undrafted backs. Ray Davis out of Kentucky is a player that they've done a lot of work on. They really do like him. If you haven't checked out some of the articles on The Athletic, or just Google his name and look at his arc as a person and his collegiate career being at three different universities, this kid has overcome so much adversity in his life. You just can't help but root for him. It's not the same, but different. But you think about the late, great Demaryius Thomas and all the stuff that he dealt with as a young man. And look at the man he became and the player that he became for the Broncos. And you read stuff like that about a prospect. And it's not like falling in love, but it's like, man, like, I'm pounding the table for that kid. I want him on my team because he will do whatever it takes to make us better. I know that they like him. Isaiah Davis is a running back from South Dakota State University, which is about 60 miles from me. I'm a North Dakota State alumni. I hate the Jackrabbits, but he's a hell of a player. And he's more of a north-south runner like Javonte Williams. Really proficient at breaking tackles. He averaged like 7 yards per carry. It is FCS level ball, but like if you can get 7 yards per carry, average out through like 700 carries in college, in the past 2 years have like 38 touchdowns, you're going to play in this league. And I think that he is someone that they would consider adding in the fourth or fifth round. There's other backs there. I think that our starters would obviously be Javonte Williams and Samaje Perine. Maybe Perine like gets cut if they draft a back relatively high. But I just don't think that there's any way that they're going to put Pookie out to pasture or Perine without getting a back that they like. But it's definitely an area. Even Blake Watson out of Memphis, they have been doing so much work on these guys. And Scotty's draft tracker, there's like 15 names at running back, I think. And some of them, and I love college football, you guys know that. It's like, I don't know who the hell that is. Like, I've never heard of them before. What? I mean, they're going to add to that room. You've got your top two guys who are in the last year of their deals. The primary guy had a catastrophic injury 2 years ago in Samaje Perine. Jack of all trades, but a master of none. He's replaceable. I mean, he played well last year. The best part of the Broncos passing offense for Russell Wilson for most of the season was dumping the ball off to him on screens. Like he does that in Peyton's offense well. If we draft Bo Nix, they're going to friggin' love running that play. Like, I mean, go for it.
Sure. There's no guarantee any of those top three guys are on the roster.
No, that's why I mean, we talked about the roster stuff and who was on the promos that they had Jaleel. Like,
it doesn't matter.
Right. Because I was like, he might not even be. If they draft a running back, he's going to have his work cut out for him.
I mean, Tim Patrick.
Any of those guys that I mentioned.
Yeah.
He did. I mean, and I like Jaleel. I mean, he's an FCS guy too. He was one of the most leading rushers. I mean, you root for those kind of guys, but it's just like, they need competition there. And there's maybe 8 to 12 players that are for surefire bets just to make the roster based on their salaries and that we picked them over the past couple of drafts. But like I've been saying for months now, like outside of a dozen players, like I think this team's an open canvas. Like Bob Ross would love to be GM this draft and just paint happy trees and pictures.
Well, he would get
a cornerback here, a quarterback there. You know,
we would break Bob Ross's spirit.
He would be so upset with us.
He'd be like, fucking little tree over here.
I'm done. I retire from painting forever.
Bob Ross draw a painting of the Denver Broncos, and he turns back, and it's just like a bottomless pit. That's the darkest thing I've ever seen you do.
Yeah, yeah.
Jason La Canfora. What is the guy's name from the Washington Post? I can't pronounce it. La Canfora? Jason La Canfora. He just released his mock, and he had it very similar to what you guys said. He had Denver trading down with the Steelers, but he had the Giants trading up to four to get Drake May. McCarthy went to the Patriots. And so what he has, what he's hearing is the Vikings got up to 11 and got Penix Jr. before the Steelers or the, before the Broncos or the Raiders could get him. And then he had us taking Bo Nix at number 20. So that would be interesting if the top four quarterbacks go and none of them go to Minnesota.
Yeah, that sounds like he's kind of just either confirming or regurgitating what Tony Pauline had broke the other day about the Steelers and the Eagles being interested in trading up to number 12 to get Quinion Mitchell out of Toledo to be a cornerback for them. So maybe that's just him kind of being like, yeah, I've heard similar things, but Penix to the Vikings? Really? You never know. Like
Penix's name has been buzzy these last few days, which means nothing. It's just agents putting stuff out there, but he's been getting more hype.
Yeah, I mean, because out of any quarterback in this class, and I watch a lot of these guys, he can friggin' spin it like no other. His arm strength is unreal. His ability to drive the ball down the field is incredible. And, okay, like, who watches Indiana Hoosier football? Nobody. He made, when he was there and when he was healthy, they got them into top 10 consideration. And then he broke his shoulder and blew out both of his knees. But then he transferred to Washington to reunite with Kalen DeBoer, who is a South Dakota boy that grew up and went to school not far from me. And they had so much success there. There's a lot of stuff about him that teams like. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, you read all these mocks and you read all these analysts and what they think, and they've got connections, but all it takes is one team or one coach or one GM to just fall in love with the kid throughout a process and be like, yeah, I want him leading my football team. And he could very well be it for numerous teams in the league. So, yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, it's the NFL draft. Nothing would really surprise me. Like,
on that note, I had a question for you. Jared Verse, like, he's kind of been, he like pops up in weird places, like on mock drafts where the Broncos don't get a quarterback.
Sure.
what is the scenario where the Denver Broncos end up with Jared Verse, and what does that mean for the quarterback hunt?
You know, it's interesting because I woke up this morning and then I saw that Benjamin Albright had tweeted out his annual mock draft. And he had Denver moving back to, I believe it was 20 or 23, one of those Steelers trades or one of those Pittsburgh trades moving back and landing him in like at 20 or 23. I would be absolutely floored if that happened because I think he's truly the best edge rusher in this class. Obviously, some teams might feel differently, but I talked a lot about him with Tim. I did a scouting profile on him. I'm a Seminoles fan. He's just a complete player. I think, you know, it might have been Nick Kendall at Mile High Huddle who came up with this metaphor analogy. We've got a lot of Robins in our edge rushing group with Jonathan Cooper, with Baron Browning, with Nick Benito, who are all very good players relative to where they were picked. I think Nick Benito is going to have a great year this year. I hope that Jonathan Cooper stays healthy and can be a solid backup player. Baron Browning, his issue has been not being healthy, but if he can be healthy, that's a solid 1-2-3. I don't like Drew Sanders necessarily being put to edge because he has short arms, even though when he played that at Arkansas, when he wasn't on the inside, he did really well there. Jared Verse would be the Batman to the Robins that we have. He's a very strong player at the point of attack. A lot of the knocks on players that you see in the draft this year, like Chop Robinson out of Penn State, players coming in the league that don't have the requisite strength to hold up setting an edge or just going head to head against behemoth offensive tackles who are 6'5", 335 pounds. He's all of 6'4", 260, a great get off at the line of scrimmage, does a really good job reading run plays, but sometimes he gets over aggressive and misses tackles. He needs to work on that, but he's a solid, solid player. I mean, I would be thrilled in Albright scenario that they moved back, got extra picks, and got Jared Verse, but then somehow found a way, and I can't remember if Penix and Nix were still available, found a way to use maybe that second-round pick that they got and their third-round pick to move up and be aggressive. I would have a hard time thinking that the Broncos would make a deal to move 8 to 12 picks back without having an idea of maybe a subsequent move to come back in and jump and get a quarterback as well. I mean, it's just weird. I mean, I like Jared Verse. I think he's a top 15 player. If we landed him in a trade back at 20, awesome. I mean, I would prefer that they roll the dice on a quarterback, but if I had to go on better player evaluation, I mean, I think he's a top 10 player in this class. I would love to have him on the team, but we really do need a quarterback. So it's one of those things where the whole best player available versus need type thing collide. But I mean, I'd like him.
Albright is full of shit with that. That's all I know.
How do you really feel though, Lori?
Like, it's just a mock draft.
I know. I don't see that being truly a Sean Payton scenario at all. So that's my take. Could be a cold take. Who knows?
I mean, Albright's been wrong on a lot of things, but he has been right on some things. But he has been talking about the scenario that the Broncos are interested in adding edge rushers to the room. Obviously, Jonathan Cooper and Baron Browning are free agents. Nick Benito is a small, undersized guy, and it's 1-2-3. Thomas Incoom, who was an undrafted free agent out of Central Michigan, he has potential, but they literally need another guy there. Yeah. I would much prefer Jared Verse to getting Liatu Latu out of UCLA. Take away George Payton's phone with his UCLA connections, because I'm sure he would love to make that pick. Great kid, but like, he was medically told not to play football again due to breaking his neck. And that just scares the heck out of me. You guys know there's all the jokes about degenerative knees and the injury concerns on players, but I don't necessarily want to take a player who was told that you can't play football again in the first round. That's like drafting Darius Watts all those years ago out of Marshall after he had severed his forearm in a car accident, lost all feelings in his dominant hand catching the ball because of artery damage. And he did break some of Randy Moss's records at Marshall, but like, you just don't do that sort of thing. It's kind of like Ted Sundquist.
No, we did do that. Darius Watts was a Denver Bronco. I remember he wore number 17.
Just like Ted Sundquist.
That'd be like signing a quarterback who broke his neck and had it fused together.
No,
the injury couldn't. No, I don't even want to get into an argument about that. I mean,
let's do it.
Okay. We've got nothing but time here. I mean, clearly Mike is at work here. Like, that's his classroom. Mr. Mike. There's some sort of chicken.
I got 30 minutes here. I got 25 minutes. Let's get crazy. Okay.
Let's go.
The constant variable in that is obviously Peyton Manning with the Indianapolis Colts. They were just worried. I mean, there were rumors that he couldn't grip a football or that he'd ever be able to throw a football again. And those were very true and legitimate concerns, given what happened to him. But at that point in time, Peyton Manning had already solidified him. Well, I guess the Super Bowl with Denver probably punched his ticket, but even had he not won Super Bowl 50, he's probably a Hall of Famer anyways, just because he was just friggin' awesome. I mean, I still have nightmares of him toasting Rocket Alexander in the playoffs for like 700 yards. Like, I mean, I never hated Peyton Manning, but I hated having to go against him because he was just so damn good. So the constant is here is we've got two players that have medical concerns that were told they should probably never play football again. But one of them was an established player already headed to the Hall of Fame, while one could just be a guy that you pick and then training camp kicks off and he's carted off the field and we never see him again.
Well, medically speaking, nobody should play football. Nobody should be cleared to play football. Right.
It's too dangerous. Because then you'll turn out like Antonio Brown. You've seen his tweets.
Because he's cleared to play football.
We all know that the Colts moved on from Peyton Manning because Peyton refused to share his pain meds with Jim Irsay.
Yeah.
I listened to a conversation on, I think it was NFL radio, with Dr. David Chow, you know, everybody's favorite Twitter doctor, which, whatever. But he made a comment about the Latu thing with, was it UCLA or Washington that said he should never play again? Was it UCLA?
Not UCLA.
It was Washington?
Correct.
Yeah. He remarked that that's mostly just a liability money thing, you know, less a medical thing. So, and he wasn't saying that he's never, you know, he's not, there's not potential danger there, but he just argued that he felt like his ability to play at the next level, he hasn't had anything against him at the NFL level. And that's a good thing. Like he felt like it's worse to have some of these players who was it Van Der Esch who ended up having to retire this year because of the second neck stinger. It, you know, anyway,
I don't know if he did or not.
He was just pointing out that he wouldn't be very concerned about taking Latu because of his injury history at this point, but remarked that obviously you play at the next level. It's harder. It's worse on your body. So it doesn't come without more risk, but he's such a good player that,
he is a really good player. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that it's maybe just Hart being overly dramatic about players with injury concerns. But I mean, if there's talk of him going maybe as high as the top 10, his medical checkout at Indianapolis probably came back quite good then. Because we wouldn't be hearing that buzz if it were otherwise, but we'll see. We'll see in a few hours. It's almost here.
Well, is there anything else that we should cover for the draft? We've talked about Jared Verse. We talked about Jim Irsay stealing Peyton Manning's pain medications.
We haven't talked about Zach Wilson other than we need more.
Full disclosure, Lori is a mom, and so she wants to talk about Zach Wilson. So, okay, Lori, let's hear about Zach Wilson.
I got to tell you, so when that came out, my son was the one who he'd gotten the notice on his phone. So he just texted me the, you know, breaking news headline. And I just wrote, stop it, like, and sent it back to him. And he wrote, I know. Terrible. Like that was it. That's all we said. And then, so clearly it was a smart, cheap move. Like there's having more cheap quarterbacks isn't a bad thing. And if
it's not a good thing,
I don't know.
Does anybody expect Wilson to actually do anything?
I don't, but I think plenty of people think, I know you all saw this argument. Look at what he did with Russ Wilson. Like he turned him around. I was like, yeah, he did get more out of Russ Wilson.
He didn't turn him around.
I don't knock that, but I think we can stop talking about Sean Payton as a quarterback whisperer. He's not that. I mean, Drew Brees was good on his own.
He got good. Seasons out of Bridgewater. He got good seasons out of Kerry Collins.
And he's done some good work.
Yeah. James Winston, and he found a way to make Taysom Hill an NFL player.
I think he does that with scheme, and I'm all for that. And so if he feels like Zach Wilson is a good, you know, it can do something for us, great. Like I would love nothing more than all these guys to become amazing quarterbacks and we have an amazing offense. Let's do it. I'm so tired of the shit we've had for the last 7 years. Whatever it takes, I'm all in.
I'm mainly just tired of everybody trying to convince me. No, Teddy Bridgewater, all we need is a game manager and we'll be fine. I'm just tired of all that. Let's get the guy. But that said, going back to what Chris said at the very beginning, I'm not sure I'd want to trade 3 first rounders for that guy. I'd almost rather do the Bo Nix, dip back in and get somebody. If Bo Nix doesn't work, get somebody next year and keep those first round picks, keep those second round picks.
100%.
But that said, if we traded 2 first round picks and Sertan, Sutton, whatever, and we came up with McCarthy or May and Sean Payton's like, this is the guy I wanted, you know, I would be fine with that. I would trust him if that was his decision.
I do think Sean Payton has got to get the guy he really likes that he wants to work with because we need him to be all in on making the offense be what he wants it to be. And
we've seen what it's like when he has players he doesn't like.
Yeah, that's my point. We've seen that.
Sean did as good as he could have last year, though. I mean, right? He maximized that offense, I feel.
Sure.
the max level for that offense wasn't high, but I think he got the most out of that offense that it was possible to get out of it.
I think he could have kept it going though, and we could have kept it building. I don't care.
You think you would have kept Russ?
No, like I for the money reasons, I get it. Like we weren't going to keep him next year or 2025, right? So you had to do what we did, but I think we could have done it in a better way. So it didn't. I think Sean Payton tried to make it look like Russ was incompetent. They didn't get along. He like tried to push the blame because he didn't want to take ownership for this isn't my guy. We're not keeping him. Like I would just have preferred he man up and say what's what instead of, you know, like engineering this, these sideline arguments that were stupid, and then benching him and acting like they, you know, like Russ just couldn't do what he wanted to do. I think Russ showed that he could. And I, you know, it was just bullshit. And I didn't like how it went down, but I'm okay with where we are and how it, you know, like ultimately how it ended up. So
there we go.
There we go.
We're like a few minutes shy of an hour here. It's flying.
Well, should we wrap it up? I think we should
chime in on that.
Yes.
I think that relative to last year, the offense could have performed better. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be a discussion about Sean Payton or Russell Wilson. Denver sucked big time at running the ball last year. They maybe had 1,800 yards. I don't even know if they averaged 4 yards per carry.
I think that the divorce of
Russ and Payton, well, I knew that was going to happen the moment that he was hired. just because you just knew. That's his personality. And Russ has been a great player in the league for a long time, but he's just not the type of player that would super excel at doing what Sean wants to do. But I think he probably got as much out of Russ last year. But I think one of the most maybe not reported or talked about storylines last year was how bad Denver was at running the football, which is why I think, you know, getting a running back is going to be important. Because let's say if they do get a J.J. McCarthy, what the hell did Michigan do with Jim Harbaugh? They ran the ball a lot.
Right. What Jim McCarthy did.
And any rookie quarterback. Bo Nix with Bucky Irving in Oregon. Or any of these guys, you have a young quarterback, their best friends are going to be a tight end and a running back and wide receiver. So Sean Payton's always been a guy in his career. We like to think about Alvin Kamara. We like to think about him having Reggie Bush all those years ago. But he's also had guys like Mark Ingram, Chris Ivory, Pierre Thomas, who are more like hammerbacks in their offenses. He likes to have a wide diversity of things. And if I know like more than quarterback play struggling in Denver last year, Sean definitely wants to get that running game going. Zach Strief being offensive line coach, like hopefully that improves next year. Hopefully we get a back in the draft. I mean, that's why he's a jackrabbit, but Isaiah Davis is awesome. Like if you average like 5 yards per carry before first contact, but still have one of the highest after contact rates in the whole draft, that's awesome. But that was just kind of the Mike's question. He thought maybe Sean did the best that he could. Hell no. Like that team could have done a whole lot better, but the running stuff necessarily isn't his fault, other than the fact that I think they might've called weird running plays and sequences at just odd times. But I think maybe some of it had to do with the fact that they knew that they, you know, it might be 3rd and 5, but Russ wasn't going to hit it over the middle, but they were going to try to run the ball. I don't know. 3rd and 5, and you have a quarterback making $30 million plus a year. You let him rip it.
I don't know. I'm saying we had no wide receiver depth. Our best tight end was injured. We talked about our running back was coming off catastrophic injury. 2 limited guys. I don't know. I don't see much more potential on that offense. I think their ceiling was phenomenally low, and I think they got pretty close to that very low ceiling. And hopefully, it's better next year. Hopefully, tomorrow. We get something exciting to talk about. I'm so cannot wait just to have some joy again, right?
Right?
Be happy?
Right.
Oh, I hate to tell you this, Mike. You're not guaranteed joy tomorrow.
No,
or tonight,
I know.
As this is coming out.
I want to be like going tomorrow and pounding purchase on fanatics.com and buying a Bo Nix jersey or a McCarthy jersey or something. I just want to have fun.
You want to believe again. And I'm right there with you, but I'm not going to get my hopes way up in
Come on, Jess.
No, I've come crashing back to earth too many times. Look, I've got CTE from it. So I'm trying to protect myself from it.
I feel like it's always the opposite. The ceiling is low. The hope ceiling is really low. And so you can meet a low ceiling, right?
I always feel like the draft is like we get excited no matter what. Noah Fant. Woohoo! We got the greatest.
Talk ourselves into it.
Yeah, and then you know, and then it's a disappointment in August, in April. No, man.
Noah Fant, the draft pick, was way better than Noah Fant, the player.
Can we
way
speak about that real
better.
Quick?
Because I can know, talk about this, that big time.
Well, I want to talk, but just because another player we're linked to is Brock Bowers, and all the data out there shows that drafting a first round tight end, drafting tight end high, fails like 80, almost 90% of the time.
Hockenson has been good.
Is Brock Bowers the exception? He's also on his second team, which is something. But is Brock, if we get Brock Bowers at 12, is am I mad at this? Should I be mad?
No, but you should be skeptical.
Okay, that's fair.
No, and I think Lori makes a really good point because Brock Bowers is a really good football player. He's not going to be a traditional like inline tight end that's just going to beat people up in the blocking game, but he's more of a move guy. Kind of like you just throw him into a slot. He's kind of like what the Broncos really hoped Greg Dulcich would be.
Yeah.
With,
but
the hammy, problem, that hammy's done.
Right. I mean, and like, and when I mentioned it, and I wasn't really concerned with the injury type stuff, but the way that Greg ran in college, it kind of was like a deer stride or an antelope stride. It just looked different than most players you see catching the ball and running with it. It just looked different. Bowers is more fluid. He didn't do any testing during the whole pre-draft process, but on the tape, I can't think of if it might be Real Analytics. Like they had him peak at like 21 miles per hour, which is super fast.
Yeah.
It's just one of those situations to where, I mean, I was excited because I really like Noah Fant because he is one of the most supremely gifted, talented, athletic tight ends that has recently came out over the past 10, 15 years. You think about Vernon Davis coming out of Maryland, just being just running a 4.32. I think Noah did like 4.49. But the problem with me is it's not the player because he's going to be a good player in the league. It's just whether or not that's the right value for Denver, because if you're going to take a tight end that high at number 12 overall, if you're going to seriously consider it, you should probably have a quarterback in place that has demonstrated throughout his career to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to find that guy. Like, I know what that tight end needs to do. Like, I know how we can work together. I'm not shit-talking Jared Sidham here. I'm not shit-talking Zach Wilson. But I don't trust those
guys. Ben DiNucci, on the other hand.
DiNucci. Right.
Not seduce the Nucci on this show. Well,
yeah.
You can't maximize the value of a wide receiver or a tight end in the draft with early selections if you don't have a guy leading the ship that's a quarterback. And quarterbacks are going to take their lumps, rookies or not. But it's just one of those. It's like, yeah, Brock Bowers would be sweet to have next year if we miss out at a quarterback and sign Dak Prescott, because Dak Prescott is an established quarterback who's had multiple good tight ends in the league and likes giving tight ends the ball. But for a team that's kind of quarterbackless right now, I don't think it's the best decision. Like, I wouldn't hate it, but I'd be like, well, shoot, like, okay. But I don't think that he's even going to be there at 12. I think that someone's going to save us from having to worry about that. But there's a lot of people on Broncos Twitter that Brock Bowers, like, they'll be pumped about it. Just like, okay, you can be. If that makes you happy, that's all right. I mean,
we're so in touch with warm feelings in this show. It makes me just feel so damn good.
Well, see, that's the thing about the draft is, you know, we can bitch about it every year. We cannot like most of what the GMs do, but it is sort of ironic that we all get together at this sort of time. It's like Christmas or it's like a holiday.
Isn't my dad going to be mean to me?
Are we getting Cole again? So it's just one of those things that no matter how bad things have been for Broncos country or other teams over the past 8 years, like there is this profound sense of hope and optimism that the draft can make things better, whether that's just a false hope, whether that's like Kubler-Ross stages of grief, like bargaining, I don't know. But, you know, talking here with you guys, like it's exciting. Like, It's the enthusiasm might be a little bit palpable through the screen. I think that fans should be excited. New Jersey's Zach Wilson's in town.
Zach Wilson!
We've got the number 12 pick in the draft.
For now.
Here's the deal. We might not like who the Broncos pick or what they do, but it would be damn near impossible to be worse by the time Sunday rolls around.
Challenge accepted.
Then
let's gather tomorrow and find out if we're right.
So
could the Broncos be worse after drafting eight players?
Yes,
guys, this has been just so much fun. This has been so awesome. I think tomorrow we're going to try it. We're going to try to go live during the draft. so that you don't have to listen to Mel Kiper or any of those professionals.
You're better than Mel
Kiper. Don't listen to that nonsense. Listen to this.
Yeah, you know, you want to come here and listen to us tell fart jokes and shit on Rock Alexander. So tonight, because right, this is coming out tomorrow. Be sure to tune in to wherever you're watching this now and check it out. Cause it's going to be as chaotic and crazy and fun. And who knows, maybe Mike will join us and he will have had some alcoholic beverages.
Everton just won 2-0.
All right. Enough of that. So for Mike DeCicco, I am Jess Place.
For Jess Place, I'm Mike DeCicco. Hey, it's Christopher Hart and Lori Lattimore, Volkman Nix. Thanks for coming.
This is Chris.
Lori, I am so sorry.
Loved having you.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.